This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Excited today to have Juliet, who's one of my colleagues and friends, in the studio today. And we're talking all about after-school activities and how we get that right-ish.
Thanks for joining us for Being Real Parents with me, Anna, and my colleague and buddy,
Kate. We work in the parenting space.
And it's here where we'll talk about our worlds as parents, the good, the not so good, and the hilarious, and mix this with what we know about behaviour and psychology. Juliet, hey!
Hi!
Kia ora! So nice to have you with me.
It is quite wonderful to be here after listening for so long. To now be sitting here.
I've gone all self-conscious about that, but I'll get over it. So tell us about you, because we all want to know.
Kia ora, my name's Juliet. I have three tamariki, currently aged 9, 8 and very nearly 5.
Wow.
I'm a social worker of quite scarily about 20 years.
Yes.
And currently I contract to places like Real Parents,
yes,
and through ACC and a couple of other places.
Yeah, cool. And so social work is, a lot of people don't understand what social work, and I always think about it as, it's kind of I like social workers because they think in sociological terms, so thinking outside of individual people, thinking about systems, thinking about environments and what's impacting.
Yep, looking at, so if working with a family, it's thinking not just about, for example, the child in front of you, but the house that they live in and what's happening in that house and how are they interacting with their parents and what is the parents bringing to the situation as well.
Yeah.
So it's the whole kind of situation that's happening and then what's out in the community and society and all the things that are impacting on that family.
Yeah, and moving away from it being the individual's responsibility solely. Yeah.
Very much so.
Choice. Yay. So thank you so much for joining me. We're going to talk today about after-school activities. I bet you've got a few of those going on and with your three.
Yeah. It feels like we head into a term and we're talking about it and then a few weeks later we're already planning the next term.
Yeah.
What's going on? It just feels like a constant.
Which is how we came up with this topic. It was like, what's on top? Oh, hello.
Yep. I'm always just thinking about after-school activities.
Cool. And do you think you have the answer here for us? Because I'm keen to know.
Well, I don't think my magic wand quite works with after-school activities. I think it's constantly planning and rejigging and adapting to your circumstances personally and what the kids need.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then also, like, I'm just thinking about parents that children have currently nothing on the after-school list, and that's okay too.
Is okay too.
Yeah.
Yep. I was thinking about that last night, about how play dates, what school offers, what you can do at the library. Mm. Like, there's lots of things out there that aren't necessarily that I've paid for rugby or netball or gymnastics or sort of the normal things that families go towards.
Yeah. And and also coming back to values, like, where do you want your kids to spend their time, focus, attention, and where do you want to spend your time/money sometimes too?
Yep. There's, you know, if you could be a working parent and there just isn't time and space to do the running around for the after school or weekend, it could be that financially you can't afford those activities, and so you still need to make the best choice for you and your family, and that choice is okay.
Mm. And I have been known to, as well, extend my children's day by putting them into activities that just happen to be at the school, you know.
Yes. I definitely look at the time that something happens, and we're just, with my oldest being 8, we're just getting to that, okay, I'll accept now that things happen after 5 o'clock and we can't still have everyone home by 5.
Yeah.
But I love a 3:30 activity that we can go straight to.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm recognising how much things have changed in me since moving to the country and how there's still that available, but there's just a bit more kind of thinking around it. Like there's just, you were saying at 5 o'clock, there's just no way that we're going to get home from a school activity by 5 o'clock. Yeah.
Because of distance to travel.
Yeah, 45 minutes to get to the activity in the first place. Yeah.
There's my daughter, one of the activities she's expressed interest in is artistic swimming, which used to be called synchronized swimming.
Yes, of course.
And I was thinking, yes, that's a great idea. There's one not too far away. So being in the water is her main thing.
Yeah.
And I recently talked to a parent about it whose daughter did it and found out that it's expensive. There's a lot of kit to buy. And because there's not many places that do it, they travel a lot around the country weekends to go to competitions. And so I started thinking, okay, I don't think she's probably going to do that because logistically with three kids, we don't have the money to do that and we don't have the parenting ability to follow her around the country.
But people do, don't they? They do that.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that that's the thing, isn't it? It's almost like if we discover or if we find that our children are really into something, there is that kind of family decision to place lots of time and energy and effort around that. And then there's also the kind of like, for me, you know, because I'm a selfish being, I go, what am I going to get out of that? Because sometimes that means that, you know, I'm hanging out with people that I enjoy because it's the same community or, you know, it's a community that I enjoy. Or it means that while they're doing that thing, I can go and do my thing for a bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's part of the thing, the aspect I'm always weighing up is, okay, that child wants to go and do that activity. What am I doing with the other two kids?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Where are we?
Yeah.
Is there a playground we can go to?
Yeah.
Are we watching?
Yeah.
Weighing all that up. And sometimes it just doesn't work. And the age of your kids matters. So when my youngest was younger, we were out in a field kicking a ball for a while. Yeah. As they've gotten older, it's more likely they might sit on a screen for a little while.
Yeah.
Or I drop off and Dad picks up.
Yeah.
Just, it's constant logistics.
Yeah. I am intrigued to talk about this more.
You're listening to Being Real Parents with Kate and Anna on Plains FM 96.9.
So, of course, there's lots of benefits for our children in terms of after-school activities, hey?
Definitely.
What have you got in your list?
Well, I think the main primary reason we probably all come up with after-school activities for our kids is the enjoyment for them, the fun that they would get out of it, the learning, the connection to others, and the experience of it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we expect every activity they start that to be their one and only specialist activity that they do for the rest of their life and they will achieve to a high level.
Yeah.
It's about, do they enjoy it? Are they having fun? And what skill are they getting?
That's right. When we start this process, we don't necessarily think that they're going to the Olympics, do we? Or gonna... which is an interesting thing. So it's about forming new skills, having your confidence grow, connections, fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the, for most activities, the social aspect.
Yes.
So being around other people that are, may not be people they know at school.
Yeah, that's right.
The new social connections and practicing all that social stuff that you need to do. So if we start with the classic of a rugby game, it's as well as learning the skills of how to play rugby, it's, when I think about my son playing rugby at the moment, it's like learning to pass the ball because you're not the only person on the team.
Yeah.
And your main goal in every game cannot be to score every try.
Yeah.
So you need the whole team and you need to be able to communicate with the team.
Yeah, and thinking about others. And having that real sense of team as well, because they don't often have that outside of, you know, team sports. Like, we are this.
Yes.
You know, we are doing this together.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all important in this.
Yes, because you need every one of those members on the field.
Yeah.
Or whatever sport you're playing.
Yeah, I remember with my eldest who not having team sports until quite late-ish. And then when she did, kind of getting that, really understanding how important that team aspect is.
Yeah, I'm just recalling a conversation with my husband a while ago when we were talking about my daughter and he was saying she needs a team sport. She needs a team sport.
Yeah, interesting.
And drama is one of her
yeah.
Sort of main activities that she's done for a couple of years now. And me sort of saying to him, like, that is a team sport. They all work together to put on a production and they all need to be there for it to work. Mm. And so that discussion about it being outside of the classic Kiwi sports.
Yeah, true. Good point. Very good point. Okay, and then there's balance, isn't there?
Yes. Yes. I feel quite strongly about balance. Yeah. I don't know if I had one of those kids where, I don't know, that did whatever sport and the coaches were saying, we think they could be at the Olympics, but they need to do 15 hours a week on this one thing.
Mm.
My immediate response would be, no, thank you.
Mm.
But I would probably also feel a bit guilty about that, that they might be missing out on something amazing.
Yeah. Weirdly and interestingly, I did have that experience with my eldest, with swimming, and she was approached and I was amazed and, like, just, I don't know, sat in parent glory for about 2 seconds. And they told her that they would take her through and blah, 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 and that she could be selected and da, da, da. And she just looked up at them and went, no, thank you, and walked away. And I had to give up a lot about what my thoughts and feelings around that. And we, you know, back and talk to her about that, and she was just going, I don't want to spend that much time. I don't love this enough.
And that's about following their lead.
Damn it. Yeah.
Could have had an Olympic swimmer.
I know, and needless to say, she's never regretted that. And I keep thinking, I wonder what I could have done. I can't wonder what I could have done to... Oh, well.
And the other thing about balance is thinking about their body development and their skill development.
Mm.
And if they're focused just in one sport or activity, then they're not getting the other social connections, moving their body in different ways and getting other potential skills.
Yeah.
That could also help that main sport.
Yeah. And there's also things, it's funny, I was thinking this morning about how we talk about our babies being overstimulated, but we don't think about that beyond our babies. So I'm always I always think about that, you know, what's going on here, and we often go, oh, they're tired. But actually sometimes I think also there's overstimulation for our kids too.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's part of the balance is what gaps in the week are there for downtime?
Yes.
Or family time? Yes. Or more free play.
Yes.
Because we live on a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
And I try to have a night or two free so they can go out on the street and play with their friends and sort of do that free open play and connection.
Yeah, I am all about that, to be honest with you. I've been reading the book that's sent me into a spin called Stolen Focus. And so immediately, you know, I decided that I was going to put some real, you know, firm boundaries around screen time, including my own. But what I've noticed about that is seeing what develops instead of that time, you know, because I, you know, and then thinking, oh, I wonder if that's something that they want to, you know, move into or do more of, you know, so recognising what she's doing in her play more or that, you know, she's wanting more connections with people during that time and also just getting into kind of free stuff like getting the skateboard out. That kind of thing as well. Like,
all the things that you have around the house to entertain them.
Yeah.
To give them actual time to use them.
Yeah. Yeah, that we want them to develop their skills, but actually they can be developing them at home too, you know?
Yeah.
So when we And it's that remove you off the screen, but it's some boundaries around the screen time that's actually made me kind of really think about that, and that she's got far more skills than just what's going, you know, just what I, you know, she has available in after school activities, because those are after school activities too.
Yes, that's what I notice in my middle child.
Yeah,
is that when he has the space?
Yeah.
He will come up with all sorts of interesting games.
Yeah.
And it happens at school. They tell me about these interesting names for games that they play, which seem to be variations of tag kind of games.
Yeah.
But with different names and slightly different rules, but similar at home. There'll be some kind of resource around and he'll start developing some game around it.
Yeah.
And sometimes invite a sibling in as well. Yeah. It sounds perfect.
And that's part of the balance, isn't it? Balance is... Are they getting enough sleep? Are they, you know, getting enough downtime? Are they getting enough connection time? Are they, you know, are they getting enough free play time in order to explore who, you know, what they love, what they actually enjoy?
Yes. Yeah. And maybe the other thing with balance as well is about, so you follow their lead, what are they interested in and what are they showing motivation for?
Mm.
But also, are they only interested in one type of activity?
Yes.
And do you want to suggest some extra types? So if they're into the team physical ball sport type stuff, what about a language or a musical instrument or drama or yoga or something else, a Lego group, I don't know, that can help develop other types of skills and link to other types of communities as well.
Yeah, and still stuff that they love.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Have you done the thing of paying for one term of ballet, one term? I've done that three times. Three kids, one term of ballet, one term of gymnastics.
Yep. yep. They make them finish the term.
Because they really wanted to do it. I thought I was going to have some ballerinas in the whānau, but no.
Yep, we've done that. I've said I'm not buying the uniform until you've done one term and you definitely want to do it more than once.
Yes.
Because it gets really expensive buying all the stuff that you need to fit in. That's a factor I think about when signing up to an activity.
Yeah.
Yes, we've done the dance class that she wanted to do, but she either wouldn't go or she would sit and watch. And her main driver for being there was that the teacher had a baby and she liked to go watch the baby.
Mine was my friend is doing it, or I don't know, Angelina Ballerina was doing it.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, Dora tried it once or something. I don't even know where it came from. But yeah, three girls all wanting to do ballet. Weird.
The child that wanted to watch the baby, she was quite an anxious child, and so trying new things without my direct support for quite a few years was a challenge for her. And now it's not.
Yes.
So I tend to, if she says she wants to do something, I will try and make it happen so I can foster that drive that she's got and that her doing physical activity and the things that she enjoys is okay.
Yeah. And there's two parts to that, isn't there? There's the, like, you know, I did the ballet classes when I should have said no to the ballet classes, to be fair, because they were doing it for the wrong reasons. Friends were doing it. Angelina Ballerina did it, you know. But, you know, I was really worried that they'd miss out, you know, and you know, and maybe they will become ballerinas, and if they don't do this, you know, these classes, then I've wrecked them in some way, shape or form, you know. So there's kind of that as well. But then there's also that thing about supporting them with after-school activities that they do enjoy and allowing the process to be hard.
Yes.
When they're learning new things.
Yes, they don't have to be good at everything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be natural ability. And they don't have to be the best.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
They do it because they enjoy it.
Yeah. But that, again, comes back to that balance, doesn't it? There's an enjoyment factor and then there's also a challenging factor as well, and that's okay, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's quite hard to get right, isn't it? You know, we just go, oh, it's too hard, you know, they're whinging about it, get in the car, someone's crying, But actually sometimes it's okay.
Yes. So we have all of our kids started swimming at about 6 months old. They started their lessons.
Wow.
And it's the one thing that was our non-negotiable, like we all wanted them to be able to swim well.
Yep.
When I think about the amount of money that we spent on that, when I think about the amount of time we've driven around to classes and stuff, but they are all confident, comfortable swimmers. There has been times when particular children have said, I don't want to go today, I don't want to swim anymore, whatever.
Yeah.
And because it's the activity that we've said, for now, this is what you need to do, it's hearing what they're saying and then go, okay, and then get their togs ready and head to the car. And every single time they're still enjoying being in the pool and love the lesson. Mm. But for us, that's that we wanted to make sure that was a life skill they needed to have.
Yeah, yeah. It's a hard one, isn't it? And then I was thinking about balance when we know, because it's coming up to school holidays, we know that our kids are potentially over, got too much on, because we do get the after school activity creep, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really good time to talk about that, talk about our concerns with them in a way that's kind of calm and just go, do you know what? I just think that, you know, I'm finding it hard to manage all of these things, and I'm really clear that, you know, you might be too, blah, blah, blah. Then for me, I quite like to look at where their time is currently spent. So if, for example, they're doing lots at school and then they're going to that, you know, then that, those same, that same group is doing something after school as well. It's kind of like, and all it is another social activity or something.
Yeah.
I like to always come back to values. What would they like to do more or less of? So, you know, once they're proficient in swimming, maybe it is time to kind of move on from that if it's getting in the way and they're not enjoying it. Looking at what's important to our family, and then look at what they currently need to do anyway as a part of their ordinary lives, and are sort of assessing that and then putting the plan in place.
Yep.
Is that?
Yep. That's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
Heading towards the end of the term, start talking about, okay. And it's also, there's that seasonal change as well, if they're playing seasonal activities. There's also, I guess as your kids get a bit older,
yep,
the things that they tend to have done for quite a few years, yep, I plan in advance.
Yeah.
So I know what day touch is on in summer. I know what day rugby's on in winter. So that's part of the planning. But yeah, like what things are they over? What things do we need to drop? And what do we just need to give space for family time?
That's a very good place to end. Say that again.
Where do we need to leave space for family time as well?
Yeah. Cool. Nice. That's a lot.
Yep.
But not a lot of activities is what I would.
There's no magic answer.
There's no magic
way to do it.
Cool. Top tips in this regard.
Right. Top tips. The first one I think is to make it achievable. So thinking about the family situation, the financial situation, the logistics of distance, and just make sure it's achievable. It doesn't have to be three activities for every child every night.
Yeah, it's all right. And it's okay to say no. You're not going to wreck your kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
They will be okay.
Yeah.
Focus on the fun element and their motivation for being there.
Mm.
If they are not enjoying it and they are hating it, then you don't have to make them keep going.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. And it might be that ballet isn't for them now, clearly, but it may be that 3 years later they go, do you know what, I'd like to pick that up again, and that, you know, and actually they're more ready for it then.
Yeah, and if they're enjoying it, it's more likely something that they will continue with longer term, or they'll come back to as an adult because they've had a positive experience.
Yeah, that self-motivation is really important.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the last one is, it's okay to keep free time. They don't have to be constantly busy. You need to think about family and having time to be as a family, or time to do nothing so they have time to be creative.
Yeah, because school is massive, eh? That's 6 hours of their little lives. It's huge, like that, you know, that I just think about that and how busy and switched on they need to be in that. And so, and that's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's full on for them.
Yeah, that's right. The one thing I would say, though, is if school is really, really challenging for your child, find the after-school activity that is beautiful and they love.
Yes.
Yeah. Guess what? Juliet also does webinars for real parents online, and she has these regular events. The best way to keep in touch with any of our webinars coming up, they're $18. They're at 7:30 at night. We end before 9. It's all doable and manageable, and there's different topics like resilience and big emotions and future-proofing our kids, those sorts of things, is to follow our Facebook or social pages at Real Parents NZ.
Awesome. Thanks for being with us today.
We hope you've learned that while parenting is challenging sometimes, that's totally normal. It's been fun having you with us. Keep being amazing.
Bye!